Listening to them crunch. Jesus said, we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. Look out, Satan. Something. Ricky, you got a song on your CD. And since you didn't put a label on mine, I don't know what the name of it is. Oops. But it's number seven. It's kind of a bluesy one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure.
Wonder if you sing that for us. Put the choir on.
Yes, choir, John. I'm going to need to sing.
Just leave John over there with no music. I understand.
I know. 12-bar blues and Jesus.
12-bar blues and Jesus. Okay. Is that what you said?
I meant the G, but yeah, I don't know.
We hadn't done that one in the tent meeting before, so I thought that'd be fun. Let's do a little crossing over River Jordan.
Okay.
That's what these meetings are about. I didn't tell you guys to be seated. I told them they could be seated. That would work. You love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
What these meetings are about is crossing the River Jordan, partaking of the power of God and all that He has for us. Children of Israel that come out of Egypt died in the desert. They didn't get to partake of the promised land because they didn't learn how to believe God. They only believed what they saw. They didn't realize, even after all the awesome power that God showed them in Egypt, they still wouldn't let go. And that's this old man, see? This old man doesn't want to believe. This old man wants to hang on to the things of this world, just like the children of Israel wanted to hang on to Egypt. Amen? That's why God said, let my people go, for Israel is my firstborn. Now, you can't have a firstborn without a secondborn. Huh? If God had said, only begotten, then you'd know there was none other. But because He said firstborn, you know there has to be a secondborn. Huh? And those that went across into the promised land, that was the second born. Now, this was a type and shadow. Just as Adam was a type and shadow of the firstborn, and Jesus was a type and shadow of the second born. Jesus was the second Adam. Where Adam blew it, Jesus succeeded. Where Adam brought sin and death, Jesus brought life and forgiveness and mercy and grace and all that good stuff.
Amen.
Amen. But this old flesh is under the curse. So if this flesh is under the curse and this flesh isn't going to make it, why do we worry about it? Huh? It's because that's what we measure people by. See? The old man measures people by what they see. But the new man measures by the Spirit of God. See, I can tell when somebody, I can walk out here in the world and sit down and talk with someone, and it doesn't take just a few seconds. I know whether or not they're of God or not. It doesn't take long at all. And I can tell when somebody has the Spirit of God on them. Why? With the natural man? No. The old natural man sees what everybody else sees. But with the spiritual man. And the spiritual man is with Christ. And that's crossing the River Jordan. When you get that realization of who you are in Christ and you believe on Jesus and allow Jesus to be your king and your sovereign ruler, then it's hee-haw, let's go along for the show and have some fun. Because then God really begins to move. And faith begins to grow through what? Obedience. Obedience to what? The Word of God. By being obedient to the Word of God, faith begins to grow. As I've said so many times before, nobody in this tent has any less faith than I do. And nobody in this tent has any more faith than I do. God gives us all the same measure of faith. the same measure. It's just that we take that faith that God gives us and we put it in other things. So that when we need it for God, what happens? Huh? It's not just a little teeny tiny bit. It won't make any waves. I like making waves. What is it Bernardus says on the radio? You guys are a bunch of fanatics. Amen. You know what he's telling me? We're making waves.
Amen.
Big waves.
Amen.
And you know what? We're making waves in the community.
Amen.
Especially in the church community. Because there ain't a church in Claremont right now that hasn't heard of us. And if they think they've heard about us now, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow when we take that cross out and take possession.
Amen.
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 Where that cross goes, we own.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And nothing can stop that.
Amen.
But everybody seems to be afraid. Now, my Bible says that fear comes from the devil. The Word of God says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Huh?
Amen.
But of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, think of that a minute. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have love. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Not hate. Not envy. Love. You have power. Power over what? Sickness, disease, demonic spirits, depression, even fear, and of a sound mind. God gives us love, power, and a sound mind. And a sound mind is there. That's important. It's the sound mind that when that spirit of fear tries to come on you, it's the sound mind that kicks in and says, wait a minute, you don't have to fear. Use the power. Bring that chair back in here, Dan. Keep going out there and find chairs spread out all over the place. Amen. Not amen on the chairs. But amen that God gives us a sound mind to come against these things and know what's going on. Praise God. Tee me up a song there, boy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I don't know. I'm beginning to feel a little bit left out here. Either we're going to have to turn your microphones down or find a way to get mine up because I feel left out. I can't even hear myself sing, which is probably a good thing for everybody out there but me. I know how you feel, John. You get over there, yell your head off trying to be heard, and there's Ricky, man. He's barely doing it. He's just blasting everywhere. Huh? That's good. He's been talking this extra long over there. That's what's happened. He's been talking. Yeah, he's got two mics. John, how come he has two mics and we only have one? That's a good question, isn't it?
I know. I have an answer.
And then half
you
the time,
told me to do
and
it.
Then half the time when I want to talk to him, what's he do? He gets way over there and doesn't even talk to him. Love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
We going to have fun tonight?
Amen.
Good. What's the thing you got to learn?
Take God serious.
Amen.
Don't take yourself serious.
Amen.
Believe God's Word.
That's right. See, these guys are learning. It only took about 10 years. But
hey, woohoo!
Praise God. See, if you want to enjoy the Lord, and if you want to receive everything God's got for you, you've got to take Him serious. Right? You can't take yourself serious. You cannot take yourself serious. The minute you start taking yourself serious, you start getting into that niche that the Pharisees sat in. Huh? Sit down, guys. I didn't say you. The Pharisees, remember that time when Jesus went over there and called that tax collector? That dirty, rotten, no good for nothing, horrible tax collector. Says, come on, guy, I'm going to your house tonight for dinner. Boy, that made him happy, didn't it? Pleased him, just tickled him pink. He went home, put on a spread for Jesus. His disciples were there, and the Pharisees looked on and said, "Hey, how come your master's eating with publicans and sinners?" See, they took themselves too serious. They come around this tent. These Pharisees, they come around this tent sometimes. They'll see old Dan out there smoking a cigarette. "Huh. How come your preacher lets you smoke that cigarette?" "Huh? It's the truth. How come he lets you do that?" They think they're not sinners, see? I got news for you. Jesus never ate with anyone but publicans and sinners. Even when he was in the ruler's house, the Pharisee's house, he was eating with a sinner. But what happens when the sinners take themselves too seriously, they begin to think they're not sinners anymore. And then they begin to look at other people and think, "Well, gee, I'm better than they are." And then they wonder why people are turned off with Christianity. Huh? That's not love of God, that's love of self. Huh? The true love of God receives people where they're at. You know, Paul, I never told Paul to put a tie on. Look at him. He's starting to wear a tie. I never told him to clean up his act. He went out and did that on his own. We used to call him Pigpen. He come to church, he looked like Pigpen. Old T-shirt, holy T-shirt hanging out. Cut off shorts. Hair everywhere. Go to his house, he has these two pigs in his backyard, Steve. You ever seen them pigs? When you come back down to South Carolina, you got to check them out. Got these two pigs in the backyard, and you go down there and say, "Okay, which one of you is Paul?" Paul say, "I'm here." I'll tell you, we called him Pigpen for a reason. Look at him now. He's cleaned his act up. Actually, he hasn't. God has.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Do you think God cares whether you wear a tie or not? Absolutely not. He doesn't care if you wear a tie. He doesn't even care if I wear this suit. I could come in here in a pair of blue jeans and a T-shirt. God wouldn't care. Wouldn't care a bit. The only reason I wear this suit is just so that people, when they come in here, will stay for 5 minutes. See? They leave after that. Well, then that's their business. Praise God. All right, son, I want another song. Let's see. I want to change the mood a little bit.
Okay.
More Precious Than Diamonds. We got a few of them we do around that one. You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is beautiful. He is beautiful. And you know, when you turn your eyes to Him, you turn your eyes to His grace bounds to you. Come up here a minute, Paul. See, Paul's been running the radio station every night up there. And I had him relieved so he could come back here so I could pick on him a little bit. I've been picked on for a while, so you almost feel left out, huh?
Feeling left out.
Amen. Well, you're not left out tonight.
Praise God.
And, tell you what, go grab that mic from her right there.
Got it.
Hey, that works.
Yes, it does.
Now, I met you 4 years ago.
Yes.
Got to use my jet. And you were surprised at some of the stuff you were hearing, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
In fact, you didn't even know whether to believe some of it.
That's a fact.
But when God healed you, you had to deal with it, didn't you?
Yes.
Can you imagine Johnny Carson with him on this program? He'd say, "Don't ever bring him back up again." That's what happens when you don't rehearse, right?
This is your ride. I'm just playing straight man, I think.
I just want the truth.
That's the truth.
You had to deal with it.
That's the truth, yeah.
And then you came to the church and you heard many things over 3 years, didn't you?
Many, many things.
And then finally I said, Paul, come on revival with me.
Yes, you did.
Come get in that tent. And I will guarantee you
that my life would change.
Your life would totally be different. Has that happened?
Yes, it has.
Why?
Because,
put your head up.
Head up.
There you go. Microphone out. There you go. We'll teach you how to do this. We're going to make an evangelist out of you.
It's heavy out here, though.
Do we hear an old man murmuring in the desert?
Well, we hear him making excuses. The Lord has shown me the selfish nature that was myself, and still is to some degree, but we're trying to bury him. He's given me some examples of people with servants' hearts, people who dedicated to serving the Lord and primarily interested. They take him seriously and they learn with the help of God's instrument not to take themselves too seriously and to believe his word. And he's shown me, especially in the last couple of weeks, that his word is true and his promises he's faithful to carry out, and that he's carrying them out in me as we speak. And he's established the stuff you've been teaching and telling me about. He's established them in truth and shown me that through that he would carry out in my life the promises that you took and believed
for you.
Right. And I would never have paid much attention to those things because I never believed they were for me. But when you leave up here for a week to go home, and you've had a meeting in the tent where the word of the Lord came down for the families that were in the tent, that they'd come to the Lord, that they'd come into the order that God has established for them. And I couldn't believe that. My ears were like, and I said, man, I'm going to take that. I've got to have that. And I go home, my house is empty. And I was bearing gifts from people that had moved out of my house. And the Lord spent about 6 hours showing me that these scriptures came to my mind that were being fulfilled in what was going on here. And when the old me would have sat there desperate going, what am I going to do? The restored me, the recovered me, the healed me, was praising God because this was him in action. This is what it took. This was just taking out and destroying of the old thing that was going to be restored and rebuilt. That the Father doesn't give the Son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread. He gives him a loaf of bread. He gives him the perfect thing, the exact thing he asked for. And he showed me that he'd given me the things I've been asking for because he loves me. And he's showing me that through all that praise, just calling people up all the time and telling people what was going on, being so excited, he showed me that That scripture's oft quoted about
delight yourself.
Delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I never knew what delight in the Lord was. And then all of a sudden I couldn't stop. And He just, you know, showed me in that. That's a promise that once you have been able to delight in Him, He is going to carry out giving you the desires of your heart. Because it's the heart that He has reformed and reshaped, and He's taught you how to delight in it. And it's so great that it's almost not fair. It's definitely not fair to the enemy. The odds are so stacked against him that you're operating in such a powerful realm, and the praise just keeps flowing, and the excitement keeps being restored the more and more I talk about it.
I think it's fair. I think going, you know, somebody wants to throw rocks at me, I think going there with a nuclear device is fair.
Well, I agree.
You don't even have to get close. Just, I mean, you know, real close. You don't have to be accurate. Just kind of lob it in his neighborhood, man.
That's right.
So you learn that when you gave in, see, there's three kingdoms, folks. That's what I was dealing with you on. There's three kingdoms. Kingdom of God, in which God is sovereign and you're a slave. The kingdom of the world, in which Satan is sovereign and you're a slave. And the kingdom of self, whereas you think you're sovereign, but you're really stupid. Because the kingdom of self is buried in the kingdom of Satan.
Amen.
So until you give up that kingdom of self, thinking you are your own boss, give that up and lay it down on the altar and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and say, okay, God, from now on it's your way. And just relax.
That was the one thing that kept coming to my mind. It was probably a phrase that Terry said. It was like, I'm here for the ride. It's
relax and let Him do it. It's so neat. I saw Terry outside the tent one night. Oh, he was praying and he was just going to beat the band. I mean, you remember how Joanne used to pray, Ann? That's the way Terry was. He's out there just praying. I went up there and tapped him on the shoulder and said, what are you doing? I'm praying for the service. I said, relax. Don't take yourself so serious. God's perfectly able to take care of this. And that's sometimes we forget. God's able when we're not.
Amen.
Amen. You know, this God that we serve, this God of love that we talk about and we share, He is truly a God of love. But He's also a God of power. God's not a wimp. He's a God of power and might. This God we serve is a God of righteousness and judgment. And they all balance perfectly. When Jesus said to the Jews that were standing round about Him, He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in the seat of Moses. And all that they tell you to do, you do it, for they sit in the seat of Moses. He's talking about the religious leaders. And He was differentiating between the authority that they had and the persons that they were. You see? The authority that they had was that they sat in the seat of Moses. They represented God. Preachers in these churches out here sit in the seat of Moses. In that they represent God in that church. But He went on to say, but unless thy righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I used to read that, that used to really depress me. I mean, that really depressed me. That didn't seem fair to me. God, these guys kept the law and claimed to keep it perfectly. They lived their whole lives learning to keep the law. And you're telling me that their righteousness wasn't good enough? How could my righteousness exceed theirs? I'm a sinner. But you see, I didn't realize it then. It wasn't until later that he showed me. Before I could have a greater righteousness, I had to first recognize I'm a sinner. They couldn't recognize they were a sinner. They thought they were righteous. Their righteousness was under the law, which was not as good as the righteousness God is talking about, because God wants you to have His righteousness. And His righteousness only comes by Jesus Christ, and that by faith on Him. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then Jesus gives you the righteousness of God. It's not by what you do. It's not by how you act or dress or look. You can be an old bald-headed man with a big nose, funky glasses, false teeth, flat feet that stink, and still walk in the righteousness of God. Because every single bit of it is what He did, what Jesus did. So, I speak to the pastors of the land and say, if you're going to have to sit in that responsibility, why not have the righteousness of God? Walk with the righteousness of God. Give up your old righteousness. Give up your church doctrines. Give up your old theologies. Give up the garbage that's keeping you in the desert. And get into the Word of God afresh and believe God's Word. Believe God's Word. I told a man on the radio today. I told a man on the radio that couldn't seem to get it through his head that his problem was that he couldn't believe this Word because this book is spiritually discerned. The natural man can't understand this book. That's why we have so many different denominations out there. The natural man cannot understand it. Only the spiritual man can understand it. And it's the spiritual man that God gives the understanding to that can understand this book. Amen? And I told this guy, his problem is he's got to make a decision. Either Jesus Christ was who he said he was, or he was a liar. Jesus said he was God. Now, either he was God or he wasn't God. That's the first decision that has to be made. If he wasn't God, throw the book in the trash, go home and forget about it.